Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tree City Sports Podcast. I am your host, as usual, Andrew Baker, joined by my co-host, as usual, Graham Owen.
Are you ready for some football?
Yes. Salute to ESPN for bringing back Hank Williams Jr., despite the fact that he's like an avowed racist.
That song is not even good.
Well,
prefer Carrie Underwood, Sunday Night Football.
Well, and also Carrie Underwood doesn't hate black people, which is nice.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyways, now that we are off to a great start in this podcast, the Browns did win this week.
Yep, they took care of business.
And that's because they played the Jets, who are horrible.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets pretty much were decimated by injuries. I mean, they were missing one of their starting defensive linemen. They were missing their starting linebacker. They were missing...
They sucked before all that.
Their $50 million cornerback, Tremaine Johnson, is just not playing anymore because he's so bad. We hurt their backup quarterback after their starting quarterback is out with mono, which, by the way, that was the funniest graphic I've seen in a while, where it's him just pointing at the screen. It's like, out, mononucleosis.
You see, it's become a whole thing on Twitter. People are making their own captions.
It was like one of the highlights of the night, because honestly, the game was kind of boring.
It was not great. One thing the Jets do have is Triple G Greg Williams.
Yeah.
And he talked a lot of crap, of course.
Greg mother effing Williams.
And when Odell Beckham Jr. had that long touchdown, he was so angry.
I know, it was hilarious.
Because he had said Odell who before the game, and then he got burned.
Yeah.
So I think the theme of this game, like I said, is that the Jets are terrible. The Browns defense played well, though it wasn't exactly the biggest task to do so.
Yeah, they really just offensively, had to stop Le'Veon.
Offensively, Baker Mayfield had another pretty poor game, I'd say.
By his standards, yeah.
I mean, he passed for over 300 yards and had a touchdown, but he was right around 50% completions. And
well, he didn't do anything on that touchdown pass. It was a quick slant, and
exactly.
Then Beckham ran 89 yards.
Yeah, I mean, last year, Baker, remember the first Jets game when Baker came in, the ball was just out, and it was like, oh my God, this guy just let the ball go.
Right.
And this year, he's holding the ball a lot. Last year, he really spread the ball around to his different targets. This year, Jarvis Landry barely gets the ball. You know, not having Rashard Higgins probably hurts, since that's one of his favorite targets. Having David Njoku get hurt probably doesn't help.
Well, to be fair, he kind of got Njoku hurt by throwing him into double coverage and then having him get pretty much helicoptered in the air.
Yeah, and
which he's done a couple times.
Not really spreading the ball out that well, and he's holding the ball for a long time, and he's getting hit because, you know, this offensive line is not good enough to where you can have a lot of, you know, seven-step drops or, you know, kind of long plays. You've really got to get the ball out with this offensive line, and Baker Mayfield's not been doing that so far. I don't know how much of his play design and how much of it is not. I will say the Browns did do more two tight end sets this week, like we had talked about last week.
Yeah.
There wasn't really...
They weren't a factor in the passing game.
A great deal of success, I wouldn't say. But yeah, I don't know. And Baker's also missing a lot of checkdowns. I mean, he had an interception to Odell, trying to force it to Odell Beckham Jr. on a play where Nick Chubb was wide open for a first down, and it just seems like he hasn't really found his rhythm yet this year.
Well, and
the Jets
injury,
have a decent defense, yeah. But yeah.
The Njoku injury is the same way. There was other people open on the Njoku play, but he's doing too much of what he did last year when the plays weren't working sometimes last year. You know, he would escape the pocket, and that's one of the best things about him is that he rarely goes down on first contact. He's able to elude pressure and kind of get out and run, but at the same time, he's doing that way too much, trying to extend plays. He's kind of just playing backyard football. In a way, he's just kind of being like, all right, well, my offensive line's about to collapse. Let me go and escape, and then let me run to my right, and then I'm just going to try to rifle a ball into traffic. And he's not accurate enough right now. Last year when he was doing that, he was hitting those plays on a pretty regular basis, and right now he's either throwing them too high or he's throwing them inaccurately or he's just throwing it away because which at least he does that. But yeah, you're right, Andrew. He's missing his checkdowns. He's not seeing the whole field, and the Jets defense thoroughly confused him, which – really did surprise me, because I would think playing with Greg Williams last year and against Greg Williams defenses, he would know the type of schemes that Greg Williams runs. And he knows that he disguises coverages and that Greg Williams loves to blitz. And he just was thoroughly confused most of the game, just running for his life, which some of it was on his own. Well, some of it was the offensive line. He was just kind of running around trying to make big plays all the time instead of, like you said, just taking the easy plays and trying to get the yards. The Browns' average depth of target last week was between 9 and 10 yards on every play. You're not going to – and that's why the drives are going to keep stalling and why the Browns have been so poor on third downs, because they're trying to complete these big chunk plays all the time.
Yeah, the running game hasn't gotten going really. Chubb got 18 carries, which is about the right amount of carries, and he also had, I think, four catches.
Yeah.
And that's not bad, but – They average about 3.4 yards per carry. And the Jets, I would say, if they have a strength, run defense is probably one of them. But they also did have a lot of injuries in the defensive side. There's really no excuse for the Browns to not get this going. I'm starting to think that the offensive line is going to be enough of a concern that Nick Chubb's not going to have the year that we thought he was going to have.
Well, it's also the way that the plays are being designed, too, in the script of the game. The Browns are just coming out throwing and not – and they got him early involved a little bit. And when they were getting him involved and they were running their sets that were kind of, you know, quick play sets or just kind of running simple plays, they were getting yards out of it. And I mean, but 19 of his yards came on the touchdown run that he had, which, again, every time he got the ball, we saw him do what he has done his entire career, which is break tackles on first contact and get another 2 or 3 yards. Or he even got a couple first downs this past week where he just broke a couple tackles and got like 8 yards for a first down.
Yeah, I don't think Chubb has been playing poorly. I just think the offense hasn't given him a lot of opportunities for big plays.
I don't think the offense is being set up right now to maximize his ability to gain yards. Because last year he was averaging 5.2 yards a carry because they were passing the ball, but also they were running the ball enough to kind of, you know, keep the defense honest so that way he was able to do it. But if they're just going to pass the ball all the time or run these crazy shotgun sets for Baker, it's going to be hard for Chubb to get going sometimes.
Yeah, and like I said, 18 carries is a good amount of carries, but the offensive line just hasn't gotten that rhythm yet.
Yeah.
Also, 2 minute warning, Browns up 3 scores, third down, and they're passing the ball and getting Baker Mayfield hit. And it just doesn't, this is the same thing we talked about last week. And Freddie Kitchens is saying, you know, oh, we're not going to go easy. We want to, you know, get in a rhythm and all this. It's like, dude,
you should have played him in the preseason.
Baker Mayfield's taken a lot of hits so far this year. And I think Freddie's going to have to really chill on some of this late game nonsense. I
mean, he already bruised his hand in week one when he was playing at the Titans and he got crushed. How many more hits is he going to take like that before he doesn't get up and we have to throw in Drew Stanton or Garrett Gilbert?
Yes, we forget that Baker Mayfield's not big. I mean, I know that
he's tough, a little bit bigger, like in terms of like his like width, but he's only 6 feet. He weighs about 215, 220. But at the same time, you got 250-pound linebackers and defensive ends coming after him and crushing him. Yeah. So you really think he's going to stay around that long if you're going to keep running this type of plays?
Especially against a Greg Williams defense, who Greg Williams is the bounty guy. I mean, there's just no reason to be throwing the ball there in that situation. And maybe it was a grudge thing where Baker and Freddie just wanted to run it up, but it's not a smart decision either way. You know, that's not how you win games in the NFL, by having grudges and stuff like that.
And also, like you said, I mean, Landry's barely not getting anything really. Yeah. And they have
Landry's
to get
the punt return now, and he had a good game doing punt returns. And I think that's a way to get him involved. But, yeah, I definitely think – and that's part of the thing is Baker's not seeing the checkdowns, and Landry is like the ultimate checkdown receiver. He's always open underneath, and he's going to catch the ball, and you can get 4 to 8 yards a time.
They need
to
run him in the slot more. They're doing too much with him in the outside, which, again, last year he proved he could do things in the outside. But at the same time, why not line up Odell and Landry on the same side together and just put Landry inside of Odell? Because that creates a lot of problems because Odell's short area quickness is going to give people a lot of pause. And then that gives Landry a little bit of open space. Also in the slot, it's a lot harder to play press man coverage or bump or really close to him because you have to kind of respect it. And it gives him and he's a tough enough guy that he can make those tough catches in traffic. But a lot of the plays that were thrown at him last, especially in this Jets game, Baker was just overthrowing him or not throwing it accurately to him. There was a couple plays where it was just like wide of Landry.
Yeah.
And you have to get Landry involved or else Odell Beckham's, yes, you can feed him, but he's going to get crushed because people are you're just going to throw at him.
Yeah, one way or another, the Browns have to get this offense in gear fast because they've had 2 games against, again, the Titans are a solid team, the Jets are not, but for their early season schedule, those are 2 of the softer games the Browns will have, and they haven't really gotten a rhythm yet. We can talk more about the schedule going forward, but it's not easy. And the Browns are...
Every team the Browns are playing are 2-0 right now.
The Browns defense played really well this game, but again, they were playing against one of, if not the worst offenses in the NFL. So, of course, you're going to play well. And I will say that Kirksey and Schobert played really well. That's partially due to the fact that the Jets pretty much didn't throw the ball downfield like at all.
Yeah, but now Kirksey's hurt.
But Myles Garrett's terrifying. That's also something to note. I mean, he's
both during the play and after the play.
Yeah, he's got 5 sacks in 2 games, which puts him on pace to lead the NFL. It
means he's gonna have like 25 sacks.
Yeah, he's also got 4 roughing the passer calls.
Yeah, and all of them have been stupid ones where he's really shouldn't. He really just needs to stop hitting the quarterback like 2 seconds after they throw the ball. Because it doesn't seem – a lot of them are not really close calls. I usually defend him on those type of things. But he's just kind of playing stupid football. And for a guy as smart as him, that's just not something that he needs to do.
Yeah, and he also said after the game that he's, those roughing the passer calls stopped me from getting defensive player of the week and all this. And it's like – I don't know. I've always
had 3 sacks, bro. I don't think that's the reason.
I've always liked Myles Garrett, but I don't know. I don't want to say that I worry about him becoming too, you know, sack centric or Myles Garrett centric, because, like, you know, if he has 20 sacks, it's gonna be awesome. But I don't know. He seems to be kind of in a place where he's. And he had that letter to Browns fans before the season that was basically like, we're here now, it's time to win and all this. And it's like, I get it, but, you know, I just don't want the Browns to be getting ahead of themselves with some of this stuff, you know, because, like we said, the schedule coming up is really brutal, and the Browns haven't played that well yet. So I think it's time that maybe, you know, clamp down on this talking and play well before you really get ahead of yourself, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, they definitely need to just kind of go on about their business, practice, try to get people healthy as much as possible. And then they have a tough stretch coming up. And they're really going to need Myles Garrett to not have these passer penalties, because those also, in these games coming up against these big opponents, a 15-yard penalty like that, if it's a big play, if it's like a third down and he does that, he's basically giving those teams points, because all the teams we're going to play against coming up soon all have good offenses.
You do it against the Jets and it's like, oh, well, they can't score anyways.
But try to do it this week, and you're pretty much guaranteeing they're going to score 7 points.
Yeah, in terms of taking care of business, the Browns rookie specialist did that again. Austin Seibert was, like, dead down the middle on every kick.
Didn't he hit a 50? It was like a 50.
It was 48?
It was 48, yeah, but it was right down the middle. It was beautiful.
He had also, the Browns special teams has the best opponent average starting position so far in the NFL.
Because Jamie Gillian's been so good.
Well, no, in terms of kickoffs. Because Seibert is actually not kicking the ball into the end zone.
He's actually smart.
He's not giving them the ball at 25. He has one of the best hang times in the NFL right now in kickoffs. So they're actually forcing teams to return the ball from inside the 5. And routinely stopping them inside the 20.
Yeah, the special teams looked a lot better in week 2 than they did in week 1 when they were just kind of throwing penalties everywhere and holding constantly. Mike Kreifer definitely helped this past week with getting it. And also Seibert and Gillen, Scottish Hammer, they're just getting exuding confidence. I was so worried at the beginning of the year that after we cut Britton Colquitt, but Gillen's really making it hard to think about how good Britton Colquitt was, because I was worried that maybe he was too his leg was too good and he wasn't going to pin it. But every single punt, except for like one, has been inside the 20-yard line.
Routinely, routinely 10-yard line near the sideline,
which is going to be very big for the Browns in these games. Because we're playing good offenses, and that is going to be an issue regardless. But if you still have to make them go 80 yards every time, that's going to be really difficult for even the best offenses. The Chiefs don't do that every single time if they're getting pinned inside the 10.
Well, and plus with the the offense kind of struggling, any field position. Battle that we can start.
Right. If he can flip field position for us and we can stop them on defense, that's a big deal.
Yeah. So we're going to take a short break. We'll come back, talk about the Browns injuries, the schedule, the Rams this week, and kind of what we're thinking going forward. And we are back. So this week, the Browns have the Rams at home on Sunday night. First of all, salute to ESPN for forcing the Indians to play at 6:40. So we now have a 6:40 game and an 8:20 game in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Which also screws the Indians, because let's be honest, a lot of people aren't going to go to that game that we're going to go to that game.
We can talk about the Indians again.
Kind of. I don't work for them, but I kind of do. It's complicated. Yeah. So, yeah, that's going to be a complete mess, and they're not opening the Muni lot until 2, and they're not allowing anyone to wait in line for the Muni lot, and it's just going to be a disaster. Yeah.
Well,
but,
I think they saw last time when they had everyone come in, I mean – the massive people before the Titans game, like it was like a mile long of just like people tailgating.
Yeah.
And people were trying to line up the night before. Imagine trying to do that. So, I mean, I think they're trying to do it for some crowd control, but Cleveland's not exactly a big city. So,
well, and the good thing is the Indians are more on the south side of the city and the Browns are
on the lake.
But still, it doesn't help the Indians, because when the Browns play at a similar time, there's not going to be a big crowd. It's the last home game of the year, and the Indians are fighting for a playoff spot. So it's not a good situation.
Yeah,
but
and the Browns rule the town, so.
Another thing that's not a good situation is the Browns' injuries. So currently
16 guys on the injury report.
16 guys that are hurt. This is only the guys that are likely not playing this week. Both starting safeties, Burnett and Randall. Both two starting linebackers, Kirksey and Taylor.
You're
starting and backup right tackle, Hubbard and Lamb, and you're starting tight end Njoku. And that's not to mention all the, guys that are
limited.
Yeah, limited and
like
probably
Rashard Higgins
hurt.
Limited, Joel Batonio limited. Who else is limited? Let me see.
Limited.
Larry Okunjomi limited practice. Denzel Ward limited practice. Greedy Williams limited practice.
By the way, we can talk about Greedy real quick.
He's been really good, but at the same time, really the Browns haven't played anyone that has good receivers.
No, but he's...
So he's going to get that challenge this week.
For sure, but I also am really encouraged by his tackling, because that was considered to be his weakness coming in. That's the reason he fell in the draft, partially.
Right.
And he's been hitting people.
No, Greedy has really done a good job so far, and honestly, you don't see him get thrown at a lot, but at the same time, the Browns haven't played guys...
Well, the Jets didn't really throw anything except the ground the last game, yeah. So,
I mean, it is encouraging to see him going up and tackling and doing well on that side. So it'll be interesting to see how he does this week. I don't know who they're going to have him cover, because the Rams have Robert Woods. They have Brandon Cooks, who probably Denzel Ward's going to be on. And then they have Cooper Kupp. And then the question is, do you put TJ Carey on Cooper Kupp or do you put Greedy on
I think
Cooper
you put
Kupp?
Mitchell on Woods.
I think Mitchell you, on I th- Woods I think makes
you
sense.
Put, I think you put Ward on...
On Cooks.
I think on Kupp, actually. Because really? Kupp, yeah, because...
But Cooks is so fast.
Cooks is more of a deep threat, but I think Greedy's athletic enough to stick with him. And I think that underneath routes, Kupp is going to kill us, and I think Ward has the best chance of sticking with him.
Yeah, I think the question is, how good is Greedy at changing direction? Because that is something that Brandon Cooks is really good at, is he is really good at changing directions on dime. He actually is a pretty underappreciated wide receiver in the NFL. He got traded twice by two really good teams for first-round picks, and he just keeps producing ever since he left the Saints. Then he went to the Patriots. Now he's with the Rams. I mean, that starting three receivers is going to be a massive, massive jump in competition for the Browns.
Yeah, the Rams are a massive jump in competition in general.
I mean, they're the defending NFC champions. Yeah. So.
And I think some people they're not quite on pace for what the team they were last year.
But it's early.
But also they have one of, if not the best offensive schemes in the NFL, led by Sean McVay.
Right.
And I think this is a major, major test for the Browns defense that has, aside from one quarter against the Titans, been really good.
Yeah, they've been excellent, except for that the last like half of the fourth quarter.
But the first two games against, Titans and Jets, the Browns have been playing run heavy teams that can't throw the ball deep very well.
That's not gonna happen this time.
Yeah, and I think this Browns defense is designed for the modern NFL when they have these, four good cornerbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the pass rush. So I think that the Browns match up pretty well defensively, but in terms of just overall talent and in terms of coaching ability, I think the Browns are pretty heavy underdogs this week despite playing at home. I mean, the Jets win wasn't exactly inspiring.
They should have beaten them by 20.
I know the crowd will be nuts just because it's the Browns.
And it's a primetime game.
Yeah, but I don't know. This is one of those games to me that will start to really tell us what we have with the Browns. Because I think week one, the Browns just weren't ready to play.
Well, they've been completely undisciplined. Yeah.
Week two, the Browns beat a bad team.
And we're a lot more disciplined. I'll give them that. That's at least a big deal.
Except Myles Garrett.
Well.
And no one got kicked in the face, which is good.
No one got ejected.
But yeah, I mean, the Rams are a really good team and they're a really well-coached team. And I'm not convinced the Browns are a well-coached team right now.
Well, also, I'm concerned with Baker because he just plays against Greg Williams. Guess what? You're going against another veteran defensive coordinator. Yeah. Probably one of the best, probably two or three in the NFL, and Wade Phillips, who is known.
Wade Phillips is so good.
Wade Phillips has been a great defensive coordinator. He didn't cut it as a head coach with the Cowboys, and that's fine. But as a defensive coordinator, I mean, Sean McVay really doesn't even have to worry about the defensive side of the ball because Wade Phillips is basically the head coach of that defense. And that defense has some high-end talent, but at the same time, he kind of maximizes them. And at the same time, they have the ultimate – trump card and Aaron Donald, who arguably might be the best overall player in the NFL.
I don't really think it's arguable. I think it's pretty much consensus.
I think if it's not him, it's Pat Mahomes. So it's one of the two.
Yeah, so the Browns offensive line this week, I think Robinson played better this week. Again, not against premier talent, but a better game.
Right.
Betonio's still solid, even if he is nursing an injury. Treader's still solid.
Cush wasn't bad.
Cush was fine.
And then Hubbard was Hubbard,
but now we're probably down to our third string right tackle.
Which is a guard.
Yeah, and Aaron Donald, you have to double. And even when you double him, he often just destroys you anyways. And they've also got Dante Fowler, who is not elite, but solid. So I do think the Browns' offensive line will be a concern. And like you said, the Browns' scheme has been pretty weird so far. They have not gotten a rhythm. And with Wade Phillips and Sean McVay coaching against you,
they're going to be very well coached. Yeah. And I think what the Browns have not been so far. Is
I actually
well
think
coached.
Talent-wise, the Browns are...
They're pretty close.
Close to being on par with the Rams.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of scheme and in terms of experience playing together, it's an uphill battle. And look, it's a home game, and it's also the NFL. But the Rams are 3-point favorites right now.
That's too low.
That line seems low to me.
It's way too low. The Rams are right now, they are probably, I'd probably give them... I mean, we talked about it. Maybe not on a home field, but
I'd say five.
Yeah. Yeah, we get it at the same time.
Yeah.
Five and a half on the road. And the Rams are basically the same team they were last year, except they added Cooper Kupp back, and they added a couple more pieces on the secondary, including Eric Weddle. So if Baker Mayfield thinks he's going to run around and make plays, Eric Weddle's going to come in and take the ball from him.
We discussed it last week. We'll discuss it again now. The Browns play the Rams at home, who is last year's Super Bowl team, like you said.
Yeah.
They play at the Ravens this week, who look like the class of the AFC North so far.
They looked okay in their week two game against the Cardinals. They weren't nearly as explosive as they were against the Dolphins, but really, you're playing the Dolphins. So
sure, but you can.
But they do look really good. I would definitely say they're the clear-cut best team in the AFC North.
Yes.
Right now.
We play at the Niners, who are 2-0 and have quite a bit of talent.
Which, again, they've played questionable opponents, but they are talented. And then Kyle Shanahan also is another person that schemes really well for the team.
At home against the Seahawks, who have been good and continue to be good.
Their continuity and the fact they have Russell Wilson.
And then also at the New England Patriots, who are
the definition of continuity with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Yeah. So I think, let me ask you this. If I had to ask you right now, are the Browns a playoff team? What would you say?
It's really on the borderline right now. It's 50-50, honestly, in my opinion.
I would say it's less than 50-50 because a couple teams have emerged in the AFC, but also because the Browns, I don't know.
A couple teams have dropped off with the Steelers. Sure. With the Steelers probably dropping out of the playoff race because of the injury to Ben Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger's out for the year. That's huge for the Browns.
And I don't think anyone in the AFC East is really contending for the spot. I know the Bills have started out kind of well.
I believe in the Bills, man. I like Josh Allen.
I think the Bills are still...
You know I'm a Josh Allen guy.
And Josh Allen has not been bad. He still hasn't developed much as a passer, which is what makes me think, they're going to probably be still a 7-9, 8-8 team.
Yeah, he has 254 yards his first two games each.
Yeah. I get what you're saying, but at the same time, really with the teams that you're worrying about, the Broncos kind of are a team to worry about. The Chargers looked kind of weird, but at the same time,
even after
the
stretch, the next game for the Browns is at the Broncos, so you could even include that. And the Broncos aren't on
that level. They're all playing their old friend Flacco.
The Browns have an easy schedule down the stretch, but I really think if the Browns...
They have to have at least three wins going into that.
If the Browns are going to make the playoffs, they have to win two of their next five games.
Yeah, they need to be like 3-4 going into the next game.
The Rams are number one of only two home games. I mean, Rams and Seahawks at home, those are both tough games. I mean, historically, West Coast teams coming east haven't been that great, and maybe that's one of the reasons the line is only three.
Yeah.
But I would definitely pick the Rams this week if I had to pick.
I would probably pick them. I'm not picking scores because I said last week I'm not picking scores, but I could easily see the Rams winning by double-digit points and having it be kind of like that kind of game where the Browns are in it, but at the same time, the Rams are just too explosive offensively and they just can't sustain drives.
The Browns should be ready to play because this is not going to be like the Titans where they're overlooking their opponent.
Yeah, they have to play up to their opponent because the Rams, like we said, they're one of the best teams in the league. Honestly, if they would have had Cooper Kupp last year and a fully healthy Todd Gurley, I think they probably would have won the Super Bowl. So,
thank you to everyone for listening. We do appreciate it. Also, thank you to Greg Williams for playing single high safety against Odell Beckham Jr. We appreciate that.
Yeah, on that quick slant, there was literally no one right there for him, and that's what we remember fondly.
Yes. Thanks, Greg. Triple G, baby. we'll have another podcast next week as usual. Also, Graham and Olin put out a Red and Blue a few days ago. Check that out. Tree City Sports, that's our podcast. Tree City Records, our group, treecityrecords.com. Tree City Records on Twitter, on Facebook. At @abaker_sports on Twitter, at @gtmohan on Twitter. Hi, Mom. Have a good day. All right. Talk to you guys later.
Peace.